Session number 10413, rule 4.
Mr. George Self, Reel 4. You were telling me how you had a bit of problem with debt mm-hmm. and managing on your pay during this period.
Well, this Sunday morning, I had to go in and sign my account sheet. You sign them every month, the end of every month. And I walked into the QM stores to sign this, and the QM, that's colour sergeant Bert Suddies, was standing with a brand new suit on. And when I signed my name, I was still in debt. And I passed the remark to the storeman. They wonder I'm in bloody debt. There's a fella standing with a new suit on. And my feet never touched. I was in the guard room. And that was about 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. At 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, the Sergeant Major, Little Charter Kirkland, walked in and asked me what I'd been saying. And so I told him I'd just made a remark about the colour sergeant standing with a brand new suit on and I'm still in debt. So he let me out. Told me I'd be in front of the company commander the next morning. So I went in front of the company commander and he asked me what I'd said, and I said I'd just made a remark. I didn't mean anything by it. I just made a remark to the storekeeper. I've been in debt for 6 months now, and here's a colour sergeant standing with a brand new suit on. What were you implying? I said, I wasn't implying anything. I said, I just passed the remark. So he said, how did you become in debt? Have you been spending too much at the QM stores? No. Well, you must have got in debt somewhere. I said, I've been drawing £5 a week now for near around 6 months. I've been to the stores twice for a few socks and toothbrushes and a shirt. That's all I've had. So he said to the quarter bloke, I want you to write to the regimental paymaster. Find out why he is still in debt. Get a copy of everything he's spent at the QMs, which he did. When my next credit account came, I was £25 in credit. And to this day, I've never been told how 1 month end I'm in debt, the next month end I'm £25 in credit. But that chance remark did good for me.
Had you not wondered why you were in debt?
Oh yes, I'd asked. But it took the company commander to tell him to do something about it, where he didn't do anything about it with me asking.
Was it presumably just an accounting error, or you never found out?
I never found out. Whether they found out or not, I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
What about your company, Appleby, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of him?
Oh, he was a grand chap. Again, he did his duty when he had to. But off duty, you could talk to him. If you had any problems at all, he would listen and do something about him, same as he did about that. He was well liked. Most of the officers was well liked. I mean, you got the odd one that was regimental.
What do you mean by regimental?
Well, he went by the book, never differed from the book. Where you would get Chips Appleby or Tim Beard, that later became CO of the 2nd Battalion, if you had a problem at all, you could stop them and talk about it. And they would get something done about it. Suppose it was just send you to the padre and ask him to do something. But they would do something for you. Where you would get the other bloke that, didn't want to know. But he was a grand old fella. He came CO of the 16th Battalion later on.
What about the padre? Was he useful for the sort of social welfare type things? Or?
He did. But going back to the day I joined the forces, before I joined the forces, I wouldn't say I was a religious man, but I did go to church on a Sunday. But I think it was the second night I was in Fenham when the vicar, at least I thought he was a vicar, walked in the barrack room. Private so-and-so, yes, that's his bed there. And he went and had a bit talk to him and a bit prayer. Private so-and-so, he's in the other room, sir. Went and had a bit talk to him, and then off. Now the next night, the vicar walked in again, started at the first bed, spoke to everybody and had a little prayer with everybody right round the room. And I asked then, who was this vicar that was in the night before? Like, and it was the Roman Catholic father. And it gave me the impression that he didn't want to know you unless you were a Catholic. And that proved time and time again. Where the Church of England would talk, no matter what you were. Because those old days, there was everybody. He talked to everybody. And on a Sunday, when you were at the depot, the old days, the Roman Catholics, make their own way to church. But the C of E's, ceremonial dress, inspected, and marched to church, and it knocked a lot of religion out of me.
You were C of E?
Yeah, I was C of E, yes. And then when you went to the battalion, Sunday mornings, church parade, inspection, band and bugles going, march to church, and that was against my grain, that. I didn't like it at all.
Why not?
If the ODs and the RCs were good enough to walk to church without any ceremonial, why should the CVs? I would have gone to church. But clean brass buttons and being inspected on parade and then march with a band wasn't my idea of going to church. It was forced religion. That was my way of thinking.
Did you drop out?
I did later on, yes.
But not yet? Not at that time?
Not at that time.
Were you allowed just to say...
No. You're either on fatigues or you were on church parade. You had no arguments about it. In fact, when I was made... The weekend, on the Friday night when I was made Lance Corporal, I went along the regimental tailors to get the stripes, and he was closing, and he wasn't open on a Saturday, and it meant I had to show them on myself for Sunday morning for church parade. Anyhow, he said to me, I've got a little job to come into to do in the morning. I can only do one soup for you. So I said, right, I want my best suit ready for church parade. And the following morning I went to play rugby for the battalion. Went to play the guards. And I asked a friend of mine to go along the regimental tailors and get this suit for us. When I landed back on the Saturday night, it was my second best, which wasn't in very good state. And of course, I appeared on church parade on the Sunday morning, and I'd already seen the Sergeant Major before the parade and told him that I had my second best on because my best was in the tailors. Of course, when the inspecting officer came along, whoa, boy, he went to town with me. And you just had to stand and take it. And there's nothing you could do about it. And so that didn't better my thoughts of religion. And as I say, if it was good enough to go to church on your own steam, for the ODs, the Methodists, and all these religions.
ODs is other denominations?
Other denominations, Methodist, Congregationals, and what have you. They could make their own way there, no inspection or anything. But the CVs had to go through all this. And
Were a lot of people resentful of it?
Well, I wouldn't know, I'd never asked them. But I was. Because I'd lived in a church all my life, or church or chapel, because my father, one of his spare time jobs, was caretakers of chapels. And so I'd had to go to chapel.
What about any other officers you remember?
Leicester Todd, he was twin brothers, as a matter of fact. They were the other two platoon commanders. And the second in command, I can't think of his name now.
Do you remember anything about the Leicester Todds, how they struck it?
Well, they were like my friend. They came straight from Staff College, learning, Octo, to being platoon commanders.
What about the senior sergeants, the sergeant majors, the regimental sergeant majors?
Well, there again, they were waiting to go home. See, it was time X. There was one who was my platoon sergeant. Came from New Biggin, Wackery Wood. He's in Northumberland, and he always rolled these R's. So he went by the name of Wackery Wood. He was my platoon sergeant, but again, he'd done his 21 years. He was just waiting. And as I say, you would have a platoon sergeant one day, and the next day there wasn't one because he'd gone.
Where would the new one come from? Would he be promoted from within?
No.
Do you remember any of the younger ones who were coming up?
No.
You mentioned rugby. Did you do much sport at that time?
At that time, I used to play football for the company. I was the reserve for the battalion rugby team. I didn't get many games. I had three or four, that's all. I was a runner. I was a boxer. I didn't do much boxing because during a training session I was put in to spar with a heavyweight, Sergeant Hanley. Tommy Hanley, and he's more of a bully than a boxer. And during the sparring, I put one on him, and they carried me out the ring. And that finished my boxing days. I wouldn't have any more. I used to run 220, 100 yards. I had a go at the javelin, but I wasn't good enough.
So sport was important to you and within the battalion, was it?
It was important to me and everybody in the battalion. There were days when the whole company would have to turn out and take part in some sport. You had no option. Even if you couldn't play football, you got on the field and kicked a ball about. It was to keep you fit. Every Friday we used to do a cross-country run. Some used to do a cross-country walk. It depends what state you were in. But it was all go.
Now you moved to Fenham Barracks. When was that?
Well, before we go to
okay.
Fenham Barracks, we were talking about Garden Mountain. And the only guard I did in the 2nd Battalion, as a matter of fact, I did Lance Corporal of the Guard. And during the Garden Mountain, there used to be a veranda around the barracks square, and everybody used to gather in this veranda and watch the Garden Mountain. And on this particular day I was there, the guitar player was standing next to me, and when we fixed bayonets, he withdrew his bayonet straight across the back of my hand. Gosh, what happened? The rifle fell on the floor. And you could hear around the barracks square, oh! And I expected the high jump for it. But I was told to pick my rifle up and mounted guard. The RSM came in, and of course the blood was flowing out. My hand asked me what happened, and I told him that the lad next door has pulled his bayonet across the back of my hand, and it was only reflexes that let the rifle go. And unfortunately, he got 14 days marked men's parade. So every afternoon, he had to go on drills. And then, in the March, I think it was, the March, I was posted back to Fenham Barracks. Preparation for the first militiamen being called up. I was made...
You were aware of the approach of war now, were you?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, it started in 1938. I mean, they put it off for a year. Or talk the way out of it for a year. And it was common knowledge that they were going to start calling men up.
So you were being trained to be an instructor, were you?
Mm-hmm. And I went back to Fenham and my friend Stan Holcroft was my corporal. And the two sergeant instructors was... at first it was Sergeant Jamieson and Sergeant Scott.
How did you... The boot was on the other foot. You were now Lance Corporal to Stan Holcroft. How did you get on with him now? Did you see the other side of him now? Or
yes.
Did you appreciate him more? Or?
When I met Stan, when I went back to Fenham, we had a talk. And he told me exactly what he expected of me.
And what was that, roughly speaking?
That I had to be regimental, no backsliding, and that we were given a squad of men. And I realised what he'd had to do to us, what I was having to do. I'm not going to say I was as regimental as what Stan was, but I did the job.
Were you trained at all in being an instructor anymore while you were there, or was it just practice?
No, we were trained as instructors during at the time I was in the battalion. We had NCOs, cadres and all this, and you were given the job of instructing people.
Did you specialise in anything in particular, or were you just...
Well, there was no way you could specialise in one thing. You had to be a specialist in everything. It was no good, being, a specialist on foot drill. Because the next period you would be taking weapon training. So you had to be complete. And then in the August, I think it was.
How did you get on with the recruits?
Very well. They realised that at first that they were like probably what I was when I first joined them. You know, a lot of old rope and that. But I got on very well with them.
Did you use the same sort of kit inspections to keep them in?
Or? No. The militia, before the militia came, just 2 or 3 days before the militia came, we had a conference, all the NCOs and the CO, and we were told that we had milk feed them. We had to relax a little bit on discipline. As they went through the training, you tighten the discipline up towards the end. But at first, come on, son. Let's go down this, Then in the August, they called the reserve up, because it was imminent then that there was going to be a war. And me and a corporal Kersop were picked to demonstrate to the reservists the Bren gun, and all the weapons, the drill, and we used to do the demonstrations because they were out of touch. They'd never seen a Bren gun.
What about the mortars? Would you be doing those at the 2 and 3 inch?
Well, we only did the 2 inch mortar, which was because the 3 inch mortar was a specialist job. We only did the 2 inch mortar.
Was there any other new weapons that were coming in?
Not at that particular time. It was still the old 303 rifle, Lee Enfield, the Bren gun.
What about the anti-tank rifle? The boys?
It came in a little bit later. Well, it was there, but... The boys' anti-tank rifle, that's the one that stood about 5'4", which fired a 5.5. We used to do instruction on that. Most of the reservists, they were all NCOs that we were demonstrating to, to be instructors again. They were very, very good, but some of them, Lance Corporal telling a sergeant what to do, they didn't take to it very well, but we had a few brushes with with them.
How did you overcome that sort of thing when it did happen?
Well, there was nothing we could do. We were Land Scorpers. We told our own sergeant instructors what they did about it, I don't know. But in one particular day, we were on the we're in the 2-2 rifle range because the weather was wet. And we were taking the brain gun, and these two particular sergeants were taking the Mickey. But what they didn't know, the CS, the CO and the RSM were standing at the back, listening to us, instructing them about the brain gun. And when they started taking the Mickey, the RSM politely told these two, "You'd like to see them outside." And he took them out. What he said to them, I don't know, but there were two changed men when they came back. Unfortunately, one of them, for me anyhow, unfortunately, got a job as an instructor and did his best to get his own back. But that was later on.
So you carried on with these cadres of reservists, NCOs?
Yes, till the war broke out. At least war was declared on the 3rd of September. And the next morning, along with the this Corporal Kersop, I was sent with all the militiamen to Hacklington Aerodrome on guard duties.
No officer?
No. The officer took us up, then came back to Fenham. We left on our own. And the first night, we were on guard duties round the hangars about 1 o'clock in the morning. The duty officer would have a walk round, and in front of this number one hangar, the sentry challenged him, and he just ignored the sentry. He challenged him again, just ignored him, walked up to him, said good night, and walked away. The sentry reported to me the next day. The duty officer used to do it for a week in the Air Force. It was an Air Force officer. The next night, round about the same time, the same thing happened again. Wouldn't answer the challenge. So on the third night, the sentry that was going to be on 12 till 2 was a lad called Tucker Lynn. And I said to him, "Now the duty officer will be coming around tonight. Challenge him. If he doesn't answer you, challenge him again. If he doesn't answer the second time, challenge him again, and then put a round over the top of his head." And about 2 o'clock in the morning, bang. We run round. And I said to the sentry, "What happened?" And said, "Well, that officer came, wouldn't answer the challenge. Third time, I did as you said, put a one over his head." So the next morning, I was in front of the camp commandant, this duty officer was standing, complained to me about this sentry firing at the duty officer.